Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and this week I'm joined by the boys from the Plumbing the Death Star podcast. Please welcome who am I talking to? Joel Zammit, Joel Dusha, and Jackson Bailey.
Hey, here we are.
I just like to say I'm ready to demolish the competition. I'm not here to make friends.
Yeah. I'm not here to have a good time or make you laugh, audience. Oh, I'm here to win.
I thought this was teamwork. Oh, Joel Zammit, you're in trouble.
If you're a big fan of Plumbing the Death Star, this is the episode where it all falls apart, this will actually serve as a finale to our podcast.
Absolutely. If you're listening to this, it's been 10 years since this episode's come out, and you're like, what went wrong? You can trace it back to this episode.
Right here, right now. We all have the fragilest of egos.
Yeah, and our friendship, hanging on by a thread.
Just one, like, just one shove.
A tiny bit of competition.
I'm going to treat this as a try not to laugh challenge, so that you guys don't get any confidence from any chuckles coming my way.
I'm just going to rely on my brilliant intellect to win this one.
And maybe for some context for listeners.
Good luck, friends.
This is the third podcast we've just recorded back to back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you want to hear the day as four of us crumble, you can listen to first Thumb Cramps.
Yes.
No, yes.
Wrong. So we recorded Plumbing the Death Star first today. Then we did Thumb Cramps. Now we're doing Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. So that's not the chronological order they got released, but that is the listening order.
That's the listening order.
That's the machete.
For your audio files.
For those who don't know the show, it's pretty simple, okay? I ask a relatively obscure trivia question, and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one. Then they guess which one they think is correct. Okay. Are we ready to play?
I'm prepared.
Yes. We're ready.
All right, here's question one. And it comes from Lucky Twos. I took a while there because in brackets after his name, he wrote a phonetic spell.
Oh, I see.
Including how to pronounce Lucky.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. We never know.
How would you, like, Lauchi?
Lauchi, I guess.
L-A-C-A. Yeah. It's like, Lach.
I think.
Lucky.
I'm not the best pronunciator.
Fair enough.
So that maybe it's not patronizing. Lachlan? Maybe it's fair enough.
I think I was like maybe in my 20s when I realized that there was actually like Sean and like Scene. Scene is not a name.
No.
That's also Sean.
Yes.
That's fair enough. That is insane.
Mm. So Lucky Twos comes from Sydney's Northern Beaches. And his question is, what does the name Lego translate to in English? What does the name Lego translate to in English? So you've got to give us a fake answer. Okay. And while you're writing those down, I'll explain how the scoring works. So you get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question and I get a point for each one of these that our guests choose. A lot of these fake answers were written by the question writer as well. So this is a team. The house is a collective.
Gotcha. Many people do a house.
I'm the house, but I'm not really pulling my own weight in the house. If the house was a share house,
there'd be house meetings about you.
There's notes being left around. Do you mind doing the dishes a bit more, mate?
Yeah, like paying the rent on time, but doing nothing else is not quite the band.
You need to do just a touch more.
But I guess I am the house. I'm the walls and the roof.
Yeah, so
I'm
actually,
keeping the weather out.
The house doesn't pay rent.
Yeah.
It's rent paid in it.
Exactly. You're the house, and maybe the question writer, Lockie Twos, is the contents.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Home of contents. There it is.
So I also can get 2 points because I've got two fake answers. If you, you know.
And I've heard if the house wins, the podcast loses.
Hang on, no, because normally only two contestants. There's actually 3 points up for grabs.
Oh, my God.
Because if each of you pick one of my fake answers, I get 3 points.
Oh, no.
You get the correct answer and the other two pick yours, you get three. That's right. So we can all get 3 points per round.
Is this the first ever three person?
It's the second ever.
Oh.
Episode 7, and it's the second ever.
This is a world record because it's the first ever sequel to a three-person episode.
That's true. Put us in the Guinness book.
So we can all get 3 points per round, but the probability does favor the house, of course.
Uh-huh.
The house always wins. Oh, although the house doesn't always win.
Yeah.
The questions come from our great Patreon supporters. If you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dugongpod, which is linked in the show notes. All right. The question is, what does the name Lego translate to in English? Here are your 6 options.
Okay. Well, so many.
Big tiny brick.
Okay.
Play well. Fantastic plastic. Small construction. Children's pleasure. Or bumps.
Oh, that is tricky.
Bumps is great.
I pick play well. I don't know why. It just feels right. Play is well is what I'm going
one?
For.
The second one is play well?
Yeah, I'm going with play well.
So I'm picking Zammet play well.
And Jackson are both locking in play
locking
well.
In. Okay,
you can just imagine somebody saying
play well, and this is the house's choice. It's going to be very hard for us to come back.
Three
and win
buffoons glues to the house once again.
You know what? I'm going to go bumps.
Okay.
I don't know if we're meant to riff longer. I don't care.
No.
I want my answer in.
This is great.
You can imagine someone saying Lego. You see your kid playing and you're like, hey, Lego.
Bumps.
If it is like children pleasure, I will riot.
I love children pleasure. It's my favorite toy. An insane, dangerous thing to say.
All right. Here are who wrote the answers. Firstly, we had Big Tiny Brick. That was written by Zammet.
Okay.
Yep.
It was too long. That's how I knew that was fake.
Too long. It's like seven. I can't count, but that's like, what, 12 letters?
Yeah.
Too long.
But Lego's one word.
You've just locked in an answer that is also multiple words, Jackson.
Yeah,
you piece of shit.
No, but there's a reason for that, and we'll get to it when we get to my answer.
I've realized what I've done here, and I'm furious with myself.
Fantastic Plastic, that was written by The House.
Nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Small Construction, that was written by Dusha.
Mm-hmm. Nice try.
Children's Pleasure, also written by The House. Bumps was written by Jackson.
Fucking Bailey. God damn it!
Bumps, what are you, an idiot?
Whereas
I picked the least funny answer because I thought that would be factual.
Gotcha.
Meaning, Play Well is correct, giving 2 points to Jackson, 1 point to Zammet.
No points to
Dusha or The House.
Is that the smell of an early lead?
I'm going to take off my shoe and hit you with it.
So a quick score check.
We are
going to
fall apart.
Do we just give it some
score check after round number one. Dusha in The House on 0 points.
Fuck!
Zammet in second place on 1 point, but out in front on 2 points, it is Jackson Bailey.
Jackson will fuck this up, so that's all right. The House is the biggest threat.
Feels good. I'm gonna cook this, guaranteed. I'm going to do a misspelling of my next answer and Matt will read it out as written and it'll all be downhill from there.
So that brings us to question number two. This one comes from Will Hancock from Kentucky.
Oh, great name, Will Hancock.
Awesome.
We're big Hancock heads.
Yeah, we love Hancock.
And
the film.
Will Smith.
The film, yeah.
Will's question is, what is a true fact about the U.S. state of Wisconsin? So you've just got to come up with a fake fact about the state of Wisconsin. While you're writing your answers, here's some more info on the word Lego. According to our question writer, Lochie, I forget how to pronounce it. The Lego group was founded in 1932 by Ollie Kirk Christensen. I did a full episode of Do Go On about this, by the way. Found out that at least Dusha didn't listen to it. The company has passed from father to son and is now owned by Kjeld Kirk Christensen, a grandchild of the founder. Now, I like that Lockie gave me the phonetic spelling of Lockie, but not the name K-J-E-L-D. The name Lego is an abbreviation of two Danish words, leg and got, meaning play well. So that's where the name comes from.
Sent my answer across. I'm sorry, did Matt, I feel like I need to say it. I feel like I need to let everyone know I've put my answer in the bag.
Yeah, yeah. I did it as well, but I did before Jack.
Yeah, Zama didn't announce it. Yeah. I don't know why I feel like I need to, but I do. Dush is still thinking.
He's going to get us.
He's going to get us.
Yeah.
Either his is going to be...
What do I know about Wisconsin? Was the 70s show set in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I reckon it doesn't at the end. He says, hello, Wisconsin.
Yeah. He does too.
Is that the fact?
Yeah, that's the fact.
Yes.
Well, I know what I'm answering.
I've said too much.
The big star song. That's
You're all sure. right.
Yeah, what's
We're
the song
all
called?
Right.
Anyway, that song. Yeah, that's the fact. That song.
Okay, that seems more like a song to me than a fact. But I'm no genius.
Yeah, I mean, well, you are winning this.
I am winning.
No genius. Yeah.
All right. So the question is, what is a true fact about the U.S. state of Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. Here are your six options.
Okay.
They produce none of their own dairy products and instead import it from neighboring states.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Seven of the 10 drunkest U.S. cities are all located there.
Okay.
Each Christmas, they have a Grinch festival culminating in a big bonfire of Christmas trees and decorations.
I guess Jackson wrote that one.
The largest interstate exporter of cottage cheese.
It goes against the first one.
It's a couple of dairy based ones.
Yes, that is quite the opposite of the first
literally opposite of the first one. Interesting.
There are more people aged over 85 than under 10 years old. Or it is the only state in the U.S. that has a higher concentration of bass than humans.
Oh. Potentially true. Oh, I'm so nervous. Okay.
You need to hear them again?
Give them to it.
They produce none of their own dairy products and instead import it from neighboring states. Seven of the 10 drunkest U.S. cities are all located there.
Okay.
Each Christmas, they have a Grinch festival culminating in a big bonfire of Christmas trees and decorations. They're the largest interstate exporter of cottage cheese. There are more people aged over 85 than under 10 years old, or it is the only state in the U.S. that has a higher concentration of bass than humans.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm so scared. But I think I'm going to go that there are more people over the age of, 70?
Mm-hmm. 85.
85.
Yeah, more people over the age of 85 than under 10. I'm going for that.
Okay.
The more I think about it, the more I regret that almost instantly.
I'm going to go the first one. They don't produce cheese.
Okay.
They imported it.
Okay.
Wisconsin seems cold.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a cheese state.
You can't grow cheese in wet Kenya.
You can't grow cheese in the rain.
That seems insane.
So the bass one feels...
Because fish love the sea.
But fish love sea. Is bass fresh or salt?
It's freshwater. A bass is a freshwater fish.
Is that true?
This podcast is tearing us apart, like the group, but also individually.
I think I'm going to lock in because I know it is a cold state. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lock in at 7 of the 10 drunkest cities.
Okay. That seems like a good choice.
So we'll do the Christmas one. Coldest state. Oh, no, the drunkest.
Yeah, the drunkest one.
It just seems like, I don't know. It feels weird if they were to, burn a lot of Christmas.
Yeah, see, I agree. I was almost on board with the Grinch one, but then I was like, took it too far.
Yeah, right.
You're not burning the Christmas trees because you need them.
That means the Grinch one's not you because you're trying to talk him out of saying it.
No, I don't care what he picks.
All the answers are already locked in. So.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, we've all locked everything in.
100%.
Yeah.
Here's who gave the answers. The higher concentration of bass than humans, that was Dusha. And it was bass, not bass, right?
It was bass, yeah.
Man, I had a little sweat as I was reading through that. Then we had the Grinch Festival, which was overwritten. That was the house. What else did we have?
Oh, God. I don't know why this show just stresses me to no end.
The largest interstate exporter of cottage cheese, that was Zammit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And is that why you went for the opposite?
I know Wisconsin has something to do with cheese.
Oh, that's right. Green Bay Packers are the cheeseheads.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
Silly to pick the one that has nothing to do with cheese, Zammit.
Well, yeah, but then again, like, but maybe they love cheese so much they import it.
We'll see.
So the largest interstate exporter of cottage cheese, I've said that already, Zammit. There are more people aged over 85 than under 10 years old. That was the house.
No.
1 point to the house there.
Okay. So that means one of us has given a point to Jackson, one of us got it right.
I looked that up as well, and I think it's sort of like under 10 is about 10 times the amount of people that are right.
The moment I said it, I was like,
85 is so old.
Shout out to all our 85
plus. Listeners.
Enjoy your last moments on Earth.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this doesn't kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
They produce none of their own dairy products, mm-hmm. which is what Zammit went for. That was Jackson's.
No! Oh yeah, how sweet it is.
A point to Jackson. And gosh, the correct answer was what Dusha went for. 7 out of 10 drunkest US cities are all located
Nicely done.
Yeah,
nicely done.
Yeah, thank you.
So that means 1 point for Jackson, 1 point for Dusha, and 1 point for the house.
You'd think, see, if
so
I know-
we're all equal lost.
Yeah.
Except you.
Yeah, and the thing is, right?
If you could fuck this
well,
up.
Well, no, see, that's the thing. If it was any of you in power right now, I think you'd be loving it. You'd be, be smug as hell.
Yeah.
You'd be riding the wave. I'm not meant to be in power. It's bad for me to be here.
Well, I feel the same. Whenever the house is leading, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I'm loving this.
I need to lose some points quick.
Well, boys. I can just pick some of my answers.
Okay, all right, I will. Next time I'll pick
your answer. I'll write some
clever ones. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this quick score update is Dusha, Zaman, and the house on 1 point, but Jackson out in front on 3 points.
Oh, that's bad.
And we're moving on to question number 3. And this one comes from David Kingfisher from Norwich.
Oh my God.
How in the UK.
It's incredible.
Your listeners all have made up names, Matt.
I thought this might just be a podcast listening thing, but all that do go on podcasts have the best listener names. Our patrons are just always amazingly named.
Yeah.
They're all cool hot as well. All amazingly named.
Yeah, I was like, Johnny Fuck Suck.
Susie Piss Pants. Yeah.
All right. So question number 3 from David Kingfisher is, what was the monster-themed nickname of Utah Jazz basketballer Daryl Griffith?
Okay.
What was the monster-themed nickname of Utah Jazz basketballer Daryl Griffith? While you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a little bit more about Wisconsin's drinking problem. according to World Population Review, millions of Americans enjoy alcohol responsibly. However, it is also misused and abused every day by many. Approximately 18% of American adults regularly consume too much alcohol, and the rates are higher in some cities. 24/7 Wall Street reviewed the excessive drinking rates in 381 metro areas in the United States, and they identified the 20 most drunken cities. Here are the top 6.
Yep.
To show you where Wisconsin sits. Green Bay, Wisconsin, number 1. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Number 3, Appleton, Wisconsin. Number 4, Madison, Wisconsin. Number 5, Fargo in Nevada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. / Minnesota. And 6, Oshkoshnina, Wisconsin.
What
is, I reckon Oshkoshnina may have even been named after a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Is Fargo close to Wisconsin?
Yeah, are they nearby?
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a weird outlier. It feels like they should all be Wisconsin.
There must be. I don't know. Who's the American file here?
Yeah.
None of us. No. I don't even know what a fucking map looks like. That's a weird picture in the gallery.
Who's this? Huh? Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Is that
a self-portrait?
What? Okay, I'm nervous about my answer here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, no.
Anyone ever accidentally, in a riff, gotten an answer very close to the real answer?
I think it has happened, yeah.
Okay.
No world records today.
Do you think you've done it?
No.
Okay. You know you've gotten it wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, 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 yeah.
When you hear right? Johnny Pierce, that one's not me, and you should pick it.
Man, that, I wish how's one that of you monster said thing? That.
Monster thing, you know, the mythical Johnny Pierce.
Of course,
I would have been so. I mean, can I tell you that would be within the spirit of the game to throw in a thrill like that?
Throw in a Johnny,
and
Pierce.
I would also. I mean, I found over the first few months of doing this show,
yep.
There's no matter how stupid your answer is,
yeah.
There's someone who wants to pick it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you get sucked in.
Well, yeah,
because
yeah,
like Johnny Pierce.
Yeah, like, well,
that's a good name.
I'm the hero that lost the game because I voted one Johnny Pierce.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the guy who thought Johnny Pierce was a reasonable answer. That's stardom.
All right, so here are your 6 options for question number 3. What is the monster-themed nickname of Utah Jazz basketballer Daryl Griffith? Now, yeah, it's Halloween coming up, so happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween.
To all those who celebrate.
Good skeleton to all of you.
Here are your options. The Stone Griffin.
Oh.
Loch Ness Monster. The Big Game Bigfoot. The Griffin. Dr. Duncan Stein. Or the Mighty Griffin.
There's a lot of similar ones in there. Oh my God.
Do you need to hear them again?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is so many little landmines like to Okay. Okay. Let's hear him.
The Stone Griffin.
Stone Griffin. What? Mm-hmm. He's a basketballer, yeah?
Basketballer,
yeah. Stone Griffin. Stone Griffin.
Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness.
Okay.
That the seems Big Game stupid. Bigfoot.
That also seems stupid.
The Griffin. Dr. Duncanstein.
Great name.
Or the Mighty Griffin.
Mighty Griffin.
Tushu, you haven't gone first yet. Do you want to have a talk us through the board here?
Okay, so.
You're a sports man. Do you know this guy?
I don't. I'm not a big basketball guy. I don't, in fact, don't think I know any basketball's nicknames. Familiar with some of their real names.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's really
Michael
good.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. You don't know the round mound of rebound?
No, I don't.
Sir Charles? Same man.
I assumed Magic Johnson was a nickname, but maybe that's his real name.
Yeah, Magic. That's, it's Magic, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His real name's Irvin or something, I think.
It's a magical name.
Meta World Peace. Best name in basketball.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Go through the Griffins.
Yeah. Okay, so there's what? Griffin, Stone Griffin, and Mighty Griffin.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Dr. Duncanstein.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. The Big Game Bigfoot.
Big Game Bigfoot.
And Loch Ness Monster.
See, I don't know. Yeah, like, first off.
Okay, so either all of us have been sucked into.
That's what
picking.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, so true.
Did we all just choose Griffin because we heard Griffith?
Or did you choose Griffin?
Or did we all pick basketball-themed ones because we heard basketball? Because all the basketball ones are dumb, and all the Griffin ones are very close together.
That's true.
I'm going to pick the Big Game Bigfoot. Okay. I don't know why, but that feels right.
Can I get the question again real quick?
What was the monster-themed nickname of Utah Jazz basketballer Daryl Griffith?
I was hoping there may have been like some kind of hint to position in the question that I missed originally. But like if it was like point guard.
Does a Bigfoot feel like a monster?
Bigfoot is a monster. Yeah.
You know what?
It's too late.
Oh no, basketball nicknames are never, oh no. There's always, it won't be Griffin. Like it won't just be Griffin. There's not enough flair to that.
Yeah, okay.
So.
It's not just Griffin though, it's the Griffin.
Yeah, but the Griffin's still not enough. Mighty or Stone definitely make more sense.
Right, yep.
Oh, and what were the other two that he hasn't picked? Because not Big Game Bigfoot.
You don't think so?
Loch Ness Monster and Dr. Duncanstein.
Oh, you know what? Loch Ness Monster. Okay. I reckon that he's going to end up being like from
Loch Ness.
No, from
one of them famous
he's a Scottish basketballer.
Or he'll like, he'll just, yeah.
Oh, boy, that boy can dunk.
Loch Ness Monster, let's go.
All right.
Let's see here. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. I think those other names seem silly, but I'm also thinking like we all latched onto the Griffin, then we've all probably chosen something with the Griffin.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, because I feel like
I don't trust that either of you paid enough attention that basketball was the word.
Yeah, same.
No, Jackson looking at me like he may have remembered basketball.
I do sometimes.
But then didn't remember the guy's name.
That's true.
You would have remembered one of the two things.
And I'm just thinking, okay, yeah. So you got like Mighty Stone and the Griffin. You're right, is the Griffin. But I don't think any of us would have chose the Griffin because it's not like
pretty basic.
It's basic and not stupid enough.
That's true.
And Stone, what's that got to do with basketball?
If he was a poker player, it might be like a stone face.
Well,
you know, but
Stone Wall.
Yeah, Stone Wall.
Like, defense? Is he a defense player?
Or also like stony faced, like as in like
he never gets stressed by the.
But then Mighty
or he's got
the same
gray
thing.
Hair.
Yeah, like it could be anything.
I'm a looking Stone Griffin. I'm going Stone Griffin.
All right, looking Stone Griffin.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go through the answers. The Mighty Griffin, that was written by Zammit.
Correct.
The Griffin, that was written by Jackson.
Too simple. I hope you also did the Stone Griffin.
The Stone Griffin was written by Dusha.
I knew it. We all fucking dumb fucks went Griffin.
We all like, Griffin. You know what? This will trick them.
Well, it did, because all of us went exactly the same thing. Yeah. So.
Loch Ness Monster was the house.
Fuck!
The Big Game Bigfoot was also the house. The correct answer was Dr. Duncanstein.
God damn it.
So that means 2 points for the house, 1 point for Dusha.
Well, now I'm in third.
That's good.
Yeah, it's better than last. Mm-hmm. Zammit.
quick score update. Zammit on 1 point.
Hello.
Dusha on 2 points. And Jackson and the house, the two people who don't want to win, on 3 points. We're dangling in the breeze from a very uncomfortable
right
here.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude.
Well, that brings.
I'm glad I've got a point. You know?
Yeah, yeah, you're in the game.
I was expecting to come out of this like zero.
Any skin in the game is good.
There have been 0-pointers in the past. So.
Nick Mason.
Oof. 0-pointers.
Oh, no, Mason did quite well.
Okay.
He claimed he got no points.
Oh, did he?
He was lying to you.
Mm. I can't believe how much of a liar he is.
Scum of the
year.
Question number four comes from Kira Jacobson from West Footscray.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great suburb.
Mm-hmm. The question is, what are said to be the last words of General John Sedgwick during the American Civil War? What are said to be the last words of General John Sedgwick during the American Civil War? While you're writing your answers, here's some more info about Darryl Griffith. According to Wikipedia.org, it's an online resource I found.
Oh, yeah.
Darryl Stephen Griffith, born June 16, 1958, also known by his nickname Dr. Duncanstein, is an American former basketball player who spent his entire professional career with the Utah Jazz in the NBA from 1980 to 1991. Mid-career, he transformed his offensive game, adding long-distance shooting skills to his aerial acrobatics.
Whoa.
He led the league in three-point shooting at 36.1% and set an NBA record for most three-pointers made in a single season with 91. His new abilities earned him a new nickname, Utah's play-by-play announcer, who also has a fantastic nickname, Hot Rod Hudley.
Oh!
He began calling him the Golden Griff, which is so close
to
the Stone Griffin.
The Golden Griff.
Because isn't gold just a stone?
Yeah,
gold
it's a kind of rock.
It's a precious stone. It's a
precious rock.
Yeah, it's one of them fancy rocks.
Yeah, you got some boring rocks in this life and some really good ones.
Yeah.
And gold's one of the really good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Silver, pretty good.
Silver's fine. Bronze, it's almost worth not picking up.
Yeah. Brass, they make tubers out of it.
Yeah. People say you get brass balls.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody says you got gold.
Nobody?
That guy's got balls of gold. Frankly, maybe they should.
Man's balls are worth their weight in gold. That's something you could say.
You could say that in some context.
That's not a lot of gold.
Yeah. Well, the nuts, is it the nuts or the scrotum? Scrotum worth its weight in gold. That's pretty decent.
Mm.
Not much.
Nuts are heavier than scrot.
Yeah.
If it's an empty scrot, that's not.
Oh, empty. Yeah. I was imagining it's like a solid rock.
Yeah.
Full solid. Anyway.
Sorry, Matt. Do you look like you want to get our attention?
No,
please.
That's my face when I'm enjoying a conversation.
Please, boys, do go on.
So, that's question four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are said to be the last words of General John Sedgwick when he died during American Civil War?
Whoa. Pissed and shit.
Oh no.
Here are your six options.
Okay.
Oh shit. The enemy are such a terrible shot, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Okay.
All right, you win this time, double or nothing. A life lived violently is a life less lived.
Okay.
Sincerely, I didn't think much of it. Or, they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance.
Oh, dear me.
So you go, oh, shit. The enemy is such a terrible shot, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Uh-huh. All right, you win this time, double or nothing. A life lived violently is a life less lived.
I mean, that could be because he maybe died later.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he died like, an old man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sincerely, I didn't think much of it. Or they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance.
I don't know why. It just feels right. I'm going the elephant one.
Okay.
That's just like this. It feels.
Just a vibe thing.
Just like the vibration in the room. Yeah. I'm vibing with that question.
Yeah. Well, it is tricky because these answers give us three pretty much. You can divide them into categories of what type of guy this was.
Yes.
Smug and then dead.
Yep.
Pensive and reflective, maybe on a violent bit. Life. Yeah. Yeah.
And then dead. It was sudden. He didn't get much.
A fuckhead.
Yeah.
He didn't get much chance to say anything profound.
Yeah.
What most of us are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Oh my God, a bus. That'll be my last words.
But yeah, it's just kind of, it's notable, right?
Yeah.
So I guess if we're like, why would we know his last words? And it's either going to be, he's like, I'm invincible.
Yeah, that's
dies.
True.
Then, or, I shouldn't have killed all
those
people.
Yeah. It's tricky. I don't know why the elephant one just struck me right. That's I just went for it.
I'm gonna go American Barn one.
Barn one, which is sort of an it's like a different version of the elephant one.
It's just a bit long for your last words.
I'm an elephant. Elephant. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, two elephants and a
bull. We all went.
So at this point, I will reveal that I'm pretty certain that I've heard this before.
Me too.
Yeah. One. I just think, but I
thought I'd heard it before, and it was the elephant one. So
maybe that was a different.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Answers are locked in.
Yes.
This is who wrote them. Oh shit. That was the house.
That is Jackson written all over it.
That was the great work of Keira Jacobson.
I fucked this.
Yeah.
I just realized what's happened.
All right, you win this time, double or nothing. That was also the house. A life lived violently is a life less lived, which is Dusha giving me the freaking tongue twister there.
Yeah.
Sincerely, I didn't think much of it. That was Jackson B. Bailey.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. You're safe.
So one of you is correct.
Not. No, he's not, because you... Fuck.
Yeah, we got this.
The broadside of a barn. That was written by Zammit.
Yeah.
And the correct answer was they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance.
Oh,
so that means 2 points for Zammit. Nicely 1 point done. For Jackson.
Oh, that keeps me ahead. Oh, no.
And that drops me to last.
Damn, dude.
Sucks to suck.
Does suck to suck.
I was hoping, sincerely, I didn't think much of it sounded like the kind of thing that you see like on Facebook. They'll be like, funny last words. Yeah. You know, like he was like, oh, I didn't think much of life. Witty, whatever. But no, it didn't work.
No. Oh, yours almost got me, yeah, Katie. I'll give you that.
Pick a fake poetic
thing. I think what threw me off there is I was like, I feel like that's not how you use the word lust.
Yeah, but he's dying.
Yeah. You don't know. His fucking brain synapses are going, this whatever, shush.
It's like, yeah, like the first words on the moon didn't make sense either.
Yeah,
it's just what it is, because he was dying as far as he knew.
Men aren't meant to be on the moon.
Oh, shit.
All right, here's question number 5. This one comes from Brandy Broyhill from Greensboro.
Brandy Broyhill?
Oh, my God.
What, do they live in a tree trunk?
I don't know, North Carolina.
Okay, my mistake.
Which is
does it mention a tree trunk?
Yeah. They live in a toad stool.
It doesn't give that much. Doesn't give the exact address.
Just fair curious.
Fair enough.
You can't
best
assume
friend an owl. I don't know.
Yeah.
And Brandy's question is: which of these is a real breed of horse?
Oh,
so
okay.
You've just got to write down a fake horse breed. And while you're writing your answers, here's a bit more information on General John Sedgwick. According to battlefields.org, in the early summer of 1864, Sedgwick led his corps with typical reliability at the outset of Grant's overland campaign. At the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse, he was personally directing artillery placements and forming his line when he uttered his now famous last words. They couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. Or at this distance. Just then.
Did he correct himself?
From this distance. Or I mean, at this distance.
Just then, in a moment of profound irony, he was struck and killed by a Confederate bullet. When Grant heard the news, he could hardly believe it, repeatedly asking, "Is he really dead?" What a funny prank that would have been. Major General John Sedgwick was the highest ranking Union casualty of the war and widely beloved by his soldiers and his superiors. He's buried near his home in Cornwall Hollow.
That's good.
Yeah. Rest in peace,
nice
King.
Yeah, rest in peace, King. Died being dumb as fuck.
Yeah. Shot in the back of the head, presumably.
I was like, to the side almost. It's like gesturing, these idiots. They couldn't hit a...
The side's great because like in the war, you're facing... Was this guy just in the crowd?
He's like just turning to the rest of the...
Oh,
like,
I see. Man, shot
yeah, he's like looking
head.
Around being like, these fucking idiots, they can't shoot
they
for shit.
They could shoot... Was there an elephant that remained standing?
He was on an elephant. Yeah. Ah, well, they missed the elephant.
He was right on that, yeah, I correct. Guess. Yeah, fair enough.
If it works for Hannibal, it's going to work for me.
Yeah. It did work out for Hannibal, bringing those elephants over the Alps.
See?
That was a good move.
Don't know how well the elephant would have gone in the Civil War, but maybe it would have changed.
Were there elephants in the Civil War?
Oh, there must have been at least
one.
At any point, there's going to be elephants.
There's probably at least one elephant in the
probability means elephants would be.
There would have been circuses.
Yeah.
So.
No.
Yeah.
No.
The circuses traveled from battle to battle, entertaining the troops.
Matt's quizmaster, and he says there might have been. So.
I mean, odds are, yes.
Odds are statistically, there's probably
no one can say for sure.
If there was an elephant in any civil war, Yeah. We would have had a movie about it by now.
War Elephant, sequel to War Horse. Yeah.
Like Jumbo Drop or whatever.
Yeah, Operation.
Mm. Yeah.
Starring Dennis Leary. Yeah.
Was that not set in the Civil War?
Was it maybe
Civil War helicopters?
Civil War Elephant Vietnam?
Yeah. Look, this is the only time I'm ever going to get to tell this story on a podcast, I
Go
think.
On. Yeah.
Well, actually, there's probably one other that I could tell it on. Mm-hmm. But dropping stuff out of a helicopter just reminded me that during World War II, obviously, to the AFL Australian Rules Football, couldn't run a regular league because the men were at war.
Mm-hmm.
But they did host the first ever all women's game.
Yeah.
And to start AFL football, they do a center bounce in the middle of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to celebrate this event that they did the center bound ball drop from a helicopter. They dropped the ball out of a helicopter onto the ground to start the game.
Oh my God.
That's real and true. And that just reminded me.
That's all. I didn't know. Haven't done that since.
No. Well, see, dropping a football out of a helicopter at a great height would either, I would assume, burst the ball or maybe kill someone.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great way to kill somebody.
And we have
it is a great way to kill somebody.
What about the North Melbourne pregame entertainment elephant?
Oh, yeah, shit.
There was an elephant?
Yeah, they had a... I don't, I can't remember the story exactly, but the elephant got spooked and it was like stampeding on the ground.
Well, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, so that was a big regret. They celebrated it recently with a blow-up elephant.
Yeah,
that's not celebrate the rampage of an elephant.
It's also funny to have, like, you're the North Melbourne Kangaroos.
Yeah, bring a kangaroo on. We got heaps of
them. Yeah. No. Change your name to North Melbourne Elephants.
Yeah.
North Melbourne Elephant Rampage.
Are there any... Yeah, the football teams should be called the Elephants.
Yeah.
I think it's weird there's no Wombats team.
Yeah, yeah,
a great animal for a mascot. But
Even emus.
Yeah.
Wallabies are great.
Wallabies?
Mm-hmm. Ghana Wallabies.
Ghana Wallabies. Ghana Quokkas.
Ghana Quokkas.
Ghana Quokkas.
Ghana Quokkas. Yeah, no, good point.
Quokkas. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here's question number five. Okay. Which of these is a real breed of horse?
Oh, that's right. Oh yeah.
Mm.
Six options.
I don't remember my answer, so I hope I don't pick.
I was going to say, if you pick your own answer, do you get a point?
Oh, yeah.
No, you get ejected from the game.
For not paying attention.
So which one of these is a real breed of horse? American Vonderberger?
That makes sense.
Caramino?
That could be it.
Yeah.
Bashkir Curly Horse?
Okay.
Mm. Ford Brumby?
Mm.
The Cleveland Pony or Gorgeous Grey Gordon Gallopers?
Oh, no. See, Gorgeous Grey Gordon Gallopers.
See, that is...
But it doesn't sound like either of you.
No. Is it a
could
real,
be the house.
Is it a say? Sorry, is it a breed of horse or a horse's name?
it's a breed of horse.
Okay.
A lot of those as horses, like horses' first names would be fucked up.
Can I get them again?
Yeah. American Vonderberger.
Mm. That sounds too stupid. It might be it.
Caramino.
Okay.
Bashkir Curly Horse, Ford Brumby, the Cleveland Pony, or Gorgeous Grey Gordon Gallopers.
So there was the Pony Express. Did that operate out of Cleveland and they bred a pony for it? But also I think the Pony Express only lasted, it lasted like barely any time before trains came around and made it defunct. Is... I think I'm going to go the Bashkir Short and Curly. The Bashkir Pube Horse. Because it feels like
they all feel like so.
American
like
Wunderburger or whatever is the only one that has our flavor in it.
Yeah. But I kind of like it. Just it seems
based on Jackson's blank face, that was his.
Well, I was going to say there were like a massive amount of German populations or whatever in America.
Why does that
settlement?
So how does that? How can you talk me through how you know that that would be your flavor?
Yeah.
It just seems like none of the others are obviously plain or stupid enough to be us.
The
Gordon Grey Horse Gordon Brigade or whatever. Are you kidding me?
So actually, can I get the last one again?
Gorgeous Grey Gordon Gallopers.
Okay, look, it's not you or me. Could be Joel Zammit.
Could be Joel Zammit.
Wow.
Or could be me.
Interesting.
Could be you being analyzed. Yeah, I'm the American Vonderberger.
I reckon Cleveland Ponies you because it sounds like Cleveland Steamer and you think about asses a lot.
And also I brought up that the Pony Express. Maybe I was trying to trick you.
So we've got American Vonderberger.
That's what Zammit's going for.
Yep.
The Curly Horse.
Ashkia Pure Horse. my pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Then there's the
Caramino.
Sounds, that also could be a Jackson typo.
Ford.
Just made up a word.
Because there's a famous breed, the Palomino.
Yeah.
So this could be a crossbreed. The Cleveland Pony, Gorgeous Grey, Gordon Gallopers.
If it's Gorgeous Grey, Gordon Gallopers, I'm getting in that hole in the studio.
Okay. What are you looking in?
It could be. But maybe I'm tricking you.
It all seems so silly.
I'm going to go the...
Dude, just sweat.
He's struggling.
He's sweating.
He's sweating.
I'm going to go the Sean Kelly's as well, please.
Sean Kelly's as well.
I feel like that's right. Because like maybe it's like a freak horse that's got like, it looks like wool and that's what makes it notable, is my thinking.
This is who wrote the answers. The Gorgeous Grey Gordon Gallopers. That was the house.
Okay. But kind of thank God.
The Cleveland Steamer Pony. That was Dusha.
Yeah. He's always thinking of us.
He's always thinking of us. We're all always thinking of us.
The Ford Brumby. That was OJ Simpson's getaway vehicle.
Ridden by
the house.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
The Caramino. That was, goddammit, Zammit.
Okay.
Yeah.
The American Wunderburger was Jackson. The correct answer was the Bashkir Curly.
Yes! Oh, no! I knew it. I knew the bottom burger had a... In fact, I called the other two.
Yeah,
you did.
2 points for Jackson, 1 point for the douche.
Oh, damn, dude.
That puts me not last, so that's all right.
That means the scores are now... On 3 points, Dusha Zammit in the house, but way out in front on 6 points.
Oh, it's no!
Double the score of the field.
Someone topple me! Matthew, you're doing well.
Topple me down.
Hey.
It's still anyone's game.
I'm going to have a panic attack.
No, it's still anyone's game. Any one of us could equal Jackson at the end of just this next round, and we've still got two questions left.
That's big.
It's still anyone's game here. This is question number six. This comes from Alex Waite from Essex in the UK.
Alex Waite's for no man. That's what I hear.
Oh, my God. Tom Waits' brother.
Sometimes the simplest answer is the most clever. No, that's not what I meant.
All right. Alex's question is, in what is presumed an apocryphal story, John Hetherington was fined £500 for breach of the peace in 1797. What did he do?
Okay.
So it's a presumed an apocryphal story. John Hetherington.
What does that mean? Can we get a definition of apocryphal?
I'm stupid.
Not legitimate.
Not like thought it was for, by some people thought to be real, but historians have sort of looked into it and it seems like it was sort of a myth that's become, you know, or sort of.
It's kind of a historical way of saying a lie.
Yeah.
So like basically like they besmirched their name.
Yeah. Apocryphal. Can I get the full question again, please?
So it's believed to have not have really happened, but the legend goes, John Hetherington was fined £500 for breach of the peace in 1797. What did he do?
1797.
What did he do? Just 100 years before the VFL began.
1797.
Dusha. Whoa, okay.
To put it in context for you.
Mm.
And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information on Bashkir Curly horses. According to learninghorses.com, Bashkir Curlies are an athletic, versatile, and level-headed breed of horse. Curlies come in all sizes and colors. Coat types vary from non-expressed curl to extreme curls. The winter coat on the average curly is tightly curled in the winter and in the springtime sheds out to a wavy summer coat that somewhat resembles crushed velvet in appearance.
Ooh.
Bashkir Curlies are great for allergy sufferers. And the guy who wrote this blog is one of them. So he's a big fan.
He loves them.
He's like, no more sneezing for me. I can
ride this horse all goddamn day. Like. Give it a big sniff. Who cares?
After being slaughtered nearly to extinction because of their unusual appearance in the first part of the 20th century, the Bashkir Curly Registry opened in 1971 with only 21 horses.
That horse is fucked up. It looks like it's calcified.
I think they're a beautiful horse.
They look like a sheep.
It looks like it's made of bones. Wait, did you say we killed them because they looked wrong? Everyone was like, that horse is fucked up. Get me my gun.
I don't know if they were killed because they looked weird or because they looked unusual and people wanted to collect them.
Oh,
I'm
not sure.
I would collect them by keeping them alive.
Yeah, that's a really... Then you get more.
Maybe you want like a nice pelt, or you get like a rug.
Yeah. Well, that's true. A horse rug.
You get a shirt.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking with a modern day mind.
Yeah, that's
early
true.
20th century. They didn't know that you could breed things.
Exactly.
Early 20th century.
Their head, you know? Yeah. I hunted this curly horse.
I was still about 19.
It was very friendly and very easy to kill.
So in the 70s, it was down to only 21 21 horses. Today there are over 5,000 Bashkir curlies in the world.
Are these horses? Old brothers.
Not many.
Big time.
That doesn't seem like a big gene pool.
No.
To pull from.
Well, yeah, 21 is small.
That's little.
Isn't there a number that it has to be before?
I don't know if it's different for different animals, though.
Horses can, look,
for
horses,
humans, it's
horses
like
horses can marry their cousins. It's fine.
A horse can bone down with its sister. What are you doing, step horse or whatever?
Hey, step horse, are you stuck in that fence?
Imagine finding your horse stuck in the dryer.
Are you trying to get fucked by your step horse?
Oh, no, you just got lost or whatever.
Oh, no, he's actually genuinely stuck.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. You're a horse.
You're a horse.
You know there's probably like crumbs. Maybe yeah,
please
there.
Don't kick me while I try and free you.
Oh, my God.
All right. The answers are in for question six.
I'm scared.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's right.
Hey, that's what
we're in the quiz show.
Yeah,
sorry.
We got lost in a riff.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe this is a good time to tell everyone that if you're in Perth,
yeah.
I'm doing this show live next week on the 29th of October.
Great day.
At the Oasis Comedy Club. I'm also headlining the comedy club there on the 28th and 29th.
Fantastic.
And I'm also going to be doing this show in the UK.
When?
It helps to remember, it's between the 8th and 20th of November.
Oh my God.
That does help.
That really helps me. Yeah.
I actually saw Dave Warnocky before.
Yeah.
And we all did, actually.
Yeah, we all saw Dave
Warnocky. Two episodes of different shows with us earlier.
Yeah.
And he did remind me to tell everyone that between the 8th of November and the 20th of November, he will be appearing alongside Matt Stewart for a UK tour.
That's true. Oh my God. Doing podcasts and stand up comedy over there.
That's it.
In merry old England and Scotland.
Also
merry.
You're going from Glasgow to London and stopping at a couple of places in between.
Oh yeah, four places. One of them might be Bristol.
One of them is Bristol.
Maybe Manchester.
One of them is Manchester.
Liverpool?
No, Jackson.
I was close.
Out.
Drop the bag.
I don't lose
bag.
A point for that. Right?
Hey, I'm getting it's hard to read you. Oh, I don't want to win. I don't lose a point for that, do I?
Well, I want to lose legitimately.
All right. So here's question six. John Hetherington. This is apocryphal. Remember, John Hetherington.
Filthy lie.
Yeah. Was fined £500 for breach of the peace in 1797. What did he do? Protesting the existence of £500 fines for public protest against the state. He dressed a hog up to resemble the current king.
Well, that's good.
He wore the world's first top hat. He ate a Bible.
Whoa!
Okay.
In public. Yeah. He bought a dog and a cat at the same time.
Oh, that's too. I can't do that.
Or he killed 500 people, so was fined £1 per person.
Oh my God.
Were the people the pure?
Well, when was this?
1797.
Okay.
Think there was a king. You know what? Real swing for the fence. I don't think that either of you would have said hog because I reckon hog's too obvious.
He loves saying hog. I want a fucking hog, but I'm thinking he wrote hog.
Nah, fuck him. He didn't write in hog. I'm locking in hog.
All right. Okay. I'm thinking, but when were top hats invented? If I make a top hat one, is it way too? Because that shit. Matt's been fucking killed.
We killed him with hog talk.
Hog logic.
Because I'm thinking that shit does happen. You know, people wear clothes, clothes, people freak out. But is 1700s...
When was the last time someone wore new clothes and there was a panic?
Well, not in the... the Zoot Suit riots.
Yeah.
They were racially motivated.
Yeah.
So.
And before that, right, not so racially motivated, but you had like people wearing hats and then when people took them off, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that sort of was like...
But would a top hat deserve a fine?
I don't think so. Unless there was like a restrictive in terms of like size of hat.
Or even taxes on... But then it's not going to be £500.
Well, no, it's not a tax, it's a fine.
Well, no,
it's apocryphal, remember?
Yeah, which means it's probably trying to teach everyone a lesson.
I don't think it's the dog and the cat at the same time.
No.
I don't think it's eating the Bible. Can you give me the ones that aren't those?
Why do you not think it's the...
Protesting against the existence of £500 fines.
Okay. That seems too silly.
Eating a Bible, world's first top hat, bought a cat and a dog, or killed 500 people getting fined.
I'm going world's first top hat. I feel like I'm walking right into a fucking ditch when I pick that.
Eating
the Bible just seems too silly.
Yeah.
Mocking the king, though. I think that makes... mocking the king, and that seems like...
That's a hog.
It is, mocking the king.
Hog. You go with the hog?
I'm going with the hog. I'm going whole hog. Yeah. I might be giving Jackson 2 points, but going hog.
All right, let's go through the answers. Killing 500 people That was The House.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So was The Dog and the Cat one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Eating a Bible. That was Zammit. Mm-hmm. Protesting the existence of £500 fines for public protests against the state. That was The Douche. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Dressed a hog up to resemble the current king was Jackson.
I know! My hog logic was flawless, you piece of shit! Did I just get 3 points, Rich?
Meaning the correct answer was the world's first top hat. Jackson got that right, so a maximum of 3 points for Jackson.
Oh my god!
He's going out to an unassailable lead.
Mike, your hog logic sucks, dude. You picked me and I was like, I'm staying quiet. It's crazy you didn't think that was me. You were like, you picked it. You were like, that's Jackson. I was like, I'm done. Then you picked it!
Hog? I thought his hog was too obvious.
He loves talking about fucking hogs, you
hogs
idiot.
Hogs are funny!
You tricked me. Ah, fuck.
I love the double bluff work there.
Yeah, fucking
yeah,
hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And you apparently love saying hog.
He loves saying hog.
No, but
hog wild. Hog wash.
I will give you an example of how Jackson often uses hog.
You use hog so much.
It's so good my hog got slopped off.
I love being at the movies and slopping off my own hog.
Something that has happened occasionally when going to the last round, the lead was too big.
Yeah.
One of the contenders requested triple points for the final round. Now, if you request it, I will allow it. But that is up to you whether you feel that is morally okay or
so
not.
So Jackson's lead is 6 at the moment, right?
Yeah, so you could, if you triple it, you go up to 9 points maximum.
It's pretty funny.
For the first 2 times that it's happened, the person in the big lead ended up with an even bigger lead.
Nothing.
We could be the first of a time that this podcast has happened and the lead has been eaten up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right,
I could
so
have said that
points.
In an easier way, but you know what I was trying to say.
Triple points means that the last round could be worth a maximum of 9 points.
Oh, my God.
So the current score is Dusha, Zam at the house on 3 points. Jackson out
on
to nine
clear
points.
Lead.
So
clearly.
One of the three of us could somehow score those maximum 9 points. We leapfrog Jackson, but you can't, there's no room for error.
Yeah.
If Jackson
you gotta make
gets
the
any
perfect
points,
run. Oh my
can't,
God.
Yeah. Can't touch the sides.
Can't touch the sides. No bumpers. No bumpers. No bumpers. No bumpers.
All right. So we're up to our final question. Question number 7. And this one comes from Adam King from New York.
King of New York.
King of New York. Sausage King of Chicago.
And his question is, what is the plot of the 1994 Italian film Cemetery Man? What is the plot of the 1994 Italian film Cemetery Man? And while you're writing your answers, here is some more information on that top hat incident via wikipedia.org. The story goes that Hetherington was arraigned before the Lord Mayor on the 15th of January 1797 on a charge of breach of the peace and inciting a riot, and was required to post a £500 bond, equivalent to about £55,000 today. Reportedly, he had appeared on the public highway wearing upon his head what he called a silk hat, which had a shiny luster and calculated to frighten timid people. And the officers of the Crown stated that, quote, several women fainted at the unusual sight, while children screamed, dogs yelped, and a younger son of Cordwainer Thomas was thrown down by the crowd which collected and had his right arm broken.
Oh my God.
All based on this top hat.
It does sound apocryphal because I can't imagine a hat so big a dog hates it. That seems insane. I don't think a dog notices the hat I'm wearing, no matter how tall. Although dogs are weird little guys.
And if you, it's like, oh, you look like that person I know, but now you look taller, I'm growling.
Yeah, yeah, true. Would a child scream if they saw a top hat? If another child screamed, then And all it takes is one.
All it takes is one. And then if someone was like,
yeah.
And then the kid like senses it, then yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Then it's done. Kids are sort of psychic like that.
Psychic. They adapt so well to like the vibe of the room and can like psychically link into like most people's fears.
That's why, you know, like they get those dogs that can smell cancer.
Yeah, baby.
Kid probably could, but it's ethically wrong to do it to them.
Yeah. Plus, we don't trust them.
Yeah. Plus, the kid might lie.
Kids don't have empathy. That's my joke.
Yeah. Everyone who's sick.
All right. Here's the final question for triple points.
Oh, damn, dude. Shit. The stakes have never been higher.
So, not only do you want to guess the correct one, but the biggest mistake
is getting
that
Jackson.
Joel could do would be to get Jackson, sealing the win for him. Uh-huh. The question is, what is the plot of the 1994 Italian film Cemetery Man? So if there is any hogs in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hogs, slurps.
Yeah, slops.
Slops.
Cemetery Man. Let's see. What would Jackson think?
Any superhero-related thing could be Jackson.
A dog fucks a skeleton.
A dog fucking a skeleton would be an obvious Jackson cue.
Oh, yeah. Some kind of either skeleton or ghoul.
Yeah, maybe. But it is a cemetery.
So it does make sense that there would be some of that going on.
Well, mate, I don't know.
I think most cemeteries have a skeleton or two.
Probably get one skeleton.
In their closet, if you know.
Unless they're a fake cemetery.
And by a closet, you mean ground.
Yeah, one of the ground closets. That's what I think of a coffin at.
Yeah.
I keep my clothes in a ground closet.
All right, here are the options for the plot of the 1994 Italian film Cemetery Man. A young woman falls in love with a gravekeeper, but a small town are convinced he's a vampire trying to make her his new bride.
Okay.
A beleaguered caretaker of a small Italian cemetery searches for love while defending himself from dead people who keep rising again.
Okay. So that sounds like a douche.
After recent break-ins at the local cemetery, the local mayor hires a new security guard to protect the deceased from vandalism. Within his first week on the job, the guard, Antonio, discovers a deeper conspiracy that may go all the way to the top.
Okay.
That sounds too much.
That's a lot of words.
That's too much.
All the way to the top of what? The cemetery?
Well, when you're in the cemetery, the top is just the ground.
Yeah.
Or to heaven.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. This goes all the way to God.
It's in Italy, Italian God.
Oh no.
The owner of a local cemetery realizes he gets paid by the body and goes on a murderous rampage to fill his graves until he's raking in the dough.
Okay. That sounds like a Jackson answer.
Yeah.
A documentary about the most prolific gravestone and monument carver in Rome, or a down-on-his-luck cemetery caretaker discovers a small fortune in an open grave. He uses it to woo the woman of his dreams. The spirit of the fortune's original owner returns to seek revenge.
There's a lot of love going on.
Yeah. For some reason, we all heard Italy. We all heard cemetery. We were like ghosts and relationships. That's what...
That last one, maybe Jackson as well.
Yeah.
You said that for half of them.
Most of them.
The last one could be Jackson and the ghouls coming back or whatever. The one that says...
The one where they keep rising again.
Rising again. But then also like...
Yeah, you gotta stay out of this, I reckon.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
We just can't pick Jacksons. It doesn't matter who else we pick.
Should we get Jackson to go first?
Yeah, then? Jackson.
Sure.
You can discuss openly then.
Okay, can I get them again?
Yep, a young woman falls in love with a gravekeeper, but her small town are convinced he's a vampire trying to make her his new bride.
Could be that one.
A beleaguered caretaker of a small Italian cemetery searches for love while defending himself from dead people who keep rising again.
Funny.
I think it's the second one. Italian's known for comedy.
I'm just thinking it's like I can imagine it. It's like a 1990s Italian comedy. It's like they're not coming back in a spooky way. They're just like coming back in a like, oh, I'm returning to life and it's causing me problems or whatever. That's kind of the vibe I'm imagining there. I'm picking that one.
Locking that in?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you two want to hear the other four?
Yes, please.
Yeah, we do.
After recent break-ins at the local cemetery, the local mayor hires a new security guard to protect the deceased from vandalism. Within his first week on the job, the guard, Antonio, discovers a deeper conspiracy to make it all the way to the top. You laugh both times, which made me laugh both times. Antonio tickles you.
Well, this is so much detail. None of the other ones about a single actor mentioned or character.
Antonio.
And it's not the full name. It's just the first name.
It's Italian name.
I wouldn't let that sway you either way because that... Sometimes they're mentioned, sometimes they're not.
Yeah, that's true. Do they often have the surname when they're mentioned?
It depends, because usually I just take pretty much the version that the question writer gives. So they're
if they didn't put in the surname,
Or they've taken it from a certain website or whatever.
Okay.
Then we had the owner of a local cemetery realizes he gets paid by the body and goes on a murderous rampage to fill his graves until he's raking in the dough.
I reckon if it was that one, I would know about the movie.
Yeah. Great. Then we had the documentary one about the most prolific gravestone and monument carver in Rome.
See, that could be something, but like...
Cemetery Man.
It's sort of, but maybe.
No, but Grizzly Man's a documentary, but is that the trick?
Or finally, a down on his luck cemetery caretaker discovers a small fortune in an open grave. He uses it to woo the woman of his dreams. The spirit of the fortune's original owner returns to seek revenge.
I reckon it would be called Rich Cemetery Man.
Cemetery Money Man.
I'm trying to think, because 94.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so when Dusk Till Dawn came out around about the same time, right?
Yeah.
So you're combining kind of comedy and horror and all that kind of stuff.
Evil Dead 2 happened in the late 80s.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like, well, you know, did Tarantino rip off an Italian film to make Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh no, don't implant me with fake memories. Don't do this.
Because if that's the case, then it's like, then it could be, you know, well, three really, the ones that are about love.
Yeah.
And then some supernatural happening. I don't think it's a documentary.
What was the documentary one again? Is there a chance this is Jackson?
About the most prolific gravestone and monument carver in Rome.
A documentary about the dog that fucked the most skeletons in Rome.
I think that seems like the house to throw.
I see. I think that's one of us. Because they use prolific, but then they say carver, and they are a weird mix. Because it would be gravestone engraving.
You can carve.
If this ends up being right, and I've talked my way out of it by overthinking it.
Yeah. I don't think it's that one.
It's possible that Adam King from New York is a Sans Pants listener as well.
As dumb as us.
I don't think it's that one. I think the last one, which was like the revenge, the richest, and then the ghost revenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that one. Somehow, I just don't think it's that one.
Annoyingly, it could be the one Jackson's picked.
Yeah. I don't want to copy.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, you can't win, right?
You get the points, exactly, but it's just not like really worth it.
Huh.
Yeah. You got to pick one.
All right. Let's go. So there's a vampire.
Yep. The first one included the vampire. Well, it doesn't say is a vampire. Okay. The town thinks they're a vampire.
Okay. So there's vampire, or town thinks vampire. Then there's the
beleaguered caretaker, where the dead keep rising again. Then we have the recent break-ins, new security guard.
That sounds silly, like a Jackson.
Antonio's involved.
Yeah, no, that's too much for me.
You got the owner of a local cemetery getting paid by the body.
Oh, yeah.
Starts to do it for cash. Documentary, or the down on his luck cemetery caretaker with the open grave of cash.
Fuck it, vampire.
Okay, all right. Fuck it, I'm going to go cash. Last one. I talked myself out of it. I talked myself back into it.
All right. So Douche's gone.
I'm thinking the vampire one too. Like, I'm sticking with my answer, but I feel like that one.
Shut the fuck up. Don't talk to me.
That's not too late. Jackson.
No. I'm happy with where I am.
Sammet, you're going for.
Yeah, the last one.
The open grave. Okay. All right. Here are who wrote the answers.
I
want to
know more about this Antonio fellow.
Yeah. If it's fucking Antonio.
It's not Antonio.
If it's Antonio.
It can't be.
It goes all the way to the top.
A documentary about the most prolific gravestone and monument carver in Rome. That was written by The House.
Okay.
Adam the King. Adam King.
Adam the King wrote that. Yeah, it was good. We talked about that. Yeah. That was good.
Adam also wrote the owner of a local cemetery realized he gets paid by the body. Goes on a murderous rampage.
Uh-huh. So we got rid of that one.
So the house is done.
Done.
House is out.
Okay.
What have we got left?
I just hope I haven't picked Jackson.
We have the one with Antonio. That was Dusha.
What? No way! Antonio, and it goes all the way to the top?
All the way to the top!
You're kidding me.
The one that Dusha picked, a young woman where the town thinks could be a vampire, that was Zamet.
Yes!
So that's three points to Zamet.
That means I've come second last.
Okay. We now have Jackson's answer on the real one. And I think I picked Jackson's answer like a fucking idiot.
And Zamet did pick Jackson's answer. And Jackson picked the correct
one. Whoa! How sweet it is! It's so good to be on top now.
6 points. That means 6 points from this round to Jackson, scoring triple points. And it happened like every other time.
Zabit talks himself out of what is clearly my answer and then talks himself back in. It's like you get double bluffed each time. You're like, well, that's obviously Jackson's, but maybe no way it could be Jackson.
Hog answer.
I didn't want to pick the one that you picked. That's all.
So final score is Douche in the House on 3 points.
Fuck!
Equal third. Second place is Zamet on 6 points, mm-hmm. So way out in front on 15 points. It's Jackson Bailey.
That's so many points. Holy shit. I can only do that once, because I think the trick is that a lot of my answers were kind of like what you would expect, but then also not really. I don't think I can get away with that again.
I reckon you could. I have faith in you, babe.
I gotta ride this one.
Yeah. That was fantastic work. Do you want to hear a bit more about the film?
Yeah, I'd love to.
So the main character, Francesco Della Morte, I wish his name was Antonio.
No last name given.
Was played by Rupert Everett, strangely.
He's not Italian?
Yeah.
A cemetery caretaker in the small Italian town of Buffalora. Mm-hmm. He lives in a ramshackle house on the premises, constantly surrounded by death. Young punks in town spread gossip that Della Morte is impotent. His hobbies are reading outdated telephone directories in which he crosses out the names of the deceased and trying to assemble a puzzle shaped like a human skull. Rotten Tomatoes consensus review reads, Cemetery Man will frustrate viewers seeking narrative cohesion or coherence. But this surreal brand of humor and horror should satisfy B-movie fans in the mood for quirk.
All right.
Mix LaSalle of the San Francisco Chronicle wrote, it aims high and misses. But it does hold interest with visual flash, wry humor, and a couple of sex scenes that can make steam come out of your ears.
I'm adding this to my watch.
Wazza, look out.
All right, so thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Where can people find you on the... Well, tell us a bit about the Fantastic Sans Pants Radio Network.
So we do a lot of podcasts, but the best place to find them is to head to dogoonpod.com/live-shows /enter. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of dates are going to come up. This doesn't look like Sans Pants
Podcast. Which one of these is a podcast?
And it's all of them. You buy tickets to every event single, there.
But I don't live in Liverpool, I say. Don't worry about it.
Forget about it.
Well, if you don't live in Liverpool, of course, what a great opportunity to watch my new stand-up special that is premiering on the Stupid Old YouTube channel on the 26th of October at 7 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. But it'll be up there forever after that.
You can watch it whenever you like.
Oh, no,
I was too busy having dinner with my Nana on that time.
Yeah,
you don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Watch it tomorrow.
Screw you, Nan.
If you got the internet and you've got access to this free special.
Incredible.
That's great value.
That's really
no matter how much you hate it.
You got it for free. You can't complain.
I'd love to plug quickly sanspantsradio.com. It's a beautiful podcast network with all sorts of podcasts, including Plumbing the Death Star, maybe the one that started it all. Is that correct?
Yeah,
pretty much.
It was the first successful one. So it started it all as in like it gave us an audience.
Do
podcasts count if no one's listening?
If you want to listen to the one that came out today on Monday, the whatever today is, then Dave Warnicki and I were on it, and it was a great amount of fun.
Yeah,
it was a laugh.
A sequel to an episode that we did once that we had to put behind a paywall because it was too, to quote us, fucked up.
Yeah. And this one we did this Monday, probably pretty fucked up too.
I think it was normal.
Yeah, okay.
Normal level.
Because you're a joker.
Yeah.
And we also did an episode of Thumb Cramps, your great...
That's right.
Video Game Review podcast. Yeah.
The most recent episode of Thumb Cramps also had Matt and Dave on it. Mm-hmm. We reviewed many of things, and there was some pretty big breaking news if you're fans of...
if you're Thumb Cramps fans, and you're fans of video games.
If you're a fan of fantasy, if you're a fan of... Jackson, if you're a fan of, well, if you're just a fan.
And if you love Matt and Dave, even if you hate us, they're on those episodes. So you can listen to Plumbing the Death Star, you can listen to Thumb Cramps, and just ignore whatever we're saying.
If you're a fan of Demon Cave or whatever, that gets referenced. book from
Space
the olden
Demons.
Days.
Space Demons.
That's right. The 1986 Australian classic novel, Space Demons.
And the correct listening order is Plumbing the Death Star first, Thumb Cramps, then this episode.
Yeah.
So if you've listened to this point,
first.
Pause it.
Don't listen to the last
30 to 40 seconds.
What you want to do is you want to rewind to the Stars episode. You go back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen to the whatever Dusha said.
Plumbing the Death Star. Thumb cramps.
Who knew it with Matt Stewart. That's the way to do it.
Maybe listen to them twice.
Maybe
not on your own device.
Yeah.
Maybe go to your mother's device, your father's device, your partner, your like sibling,
anyone
whatever.
You know,
and you just download those. You just download, you hit that subscribe button, you give us any of these shows, five stars or one, whatever's funnier.
And you can ask your friends, what happened to Dave?
Yeah. What happened to Dave?
Where'd Dave go?
Where'd Dave at?
That's a question on everyone's lips. Yeah. Where'd Dave go?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know where I went. Do go on pod.com/live-shows. I bought tickets to everything.
King move.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. And thanks so much for everyone who listened. As we're a new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there. Maybe by doing those things as Emmett just said.
5 stars for this one. Plumbing the Death Star, whatever you feel.
Whatever you're feeling on the time of day.
5 for thumb cramps would be handy too.
Plumbing the Death Star, whatever you know. What do you really feel?
It's all downhill
from there. 1 stars can't hurt us for plumbing the Death Star.
Thanks for joining us. See you next time, you gorgeous grey Gordon Gallopers. And Antonio's out there.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.